service continues on page 355 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from the book of Isaiah. I am about to create new heavens and new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent as food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
We'll be reading today Canticle 9, found on your insert. Surely it is God who saves me. For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense.
And he will be my Savior.
Therefore you shall draw water from rejoicing.
From the springs of salvation.
And on that day you shall say, make his deeds known among the peoples. Sing the praises of the Lord, for he has done great things.
And this is known in all the world.
Cry aloud, inhabitants of Zion, ring out your joy.
For the great one in the midst of you is the Holy One of Israel.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
The second reading is from the second book of Thessalonians. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. And we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have the right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat, for we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, and not doing any work. Now such persons we command you and exhort in Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right.
Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When some were speaking about the temple and how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, as for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. They asked him, Teacher, when will this take place and what will be the sign that this is about to take place? He said, Beware that you are not led astray, for For many will come in my name and say, I am he. And the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of the wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For these things must first take place, but the end will not follow immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and plagues. There will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You'll be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, that they may stone you and some will be put to death. You'll be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish, for by your endurance you will gain your souls. The Gospel of the Lord.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today Jesus jumps right into it. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places, famines and plagues. There will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. And I'm like, oh, gosh. And you just have to look around the world for about a nanosecond, and you see the wars happening. Not only guerrilla warfare and gang warfare, but Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Somalia, Nigeria, South Sudan, the Ukraine, Libya, India. And a World Report, it said there are only 10 countries in the world right now that are not involved in war. Or great earthquakes in 2019, this year, Indonesia, 41 dead, Pakistan, 40 dead, the Philippines, 18 dead, China, 13 dead. We know there's earthquakes every day. Famines. In this world right now, there's 750 million, that's 750 million people who do not have enough food to sustain life. Or we can talk about plagues, and we say, thank goodness there's no Ebola here, or MERS here, or dengue fever here, or hantavirus here. Those are other places, but here we have the measles, and we have TB, and we have hepatitis. And last year, during the flu season, 61,000 Americans died from the flu. And so I look around and I say, okay, Jesus says don't be terrified when you see all this, but I'm a little bit terrified. And I say, so where's the good news in this? Jesus, tell us the good news. I need to hear that. But we need to back up just a little bit. Today is the last day of green season. We have Christ the King next week, the last week of being disciples. Next week, we're going to see the power and the majesty of Jesus. And then we jump into the new church year, Advent. We're coming to the darkest time of the year and have to wait for the light. We're coming to endings all the time. And when we ever come to endings, we always look for the beginning. But today's gospel is another ending. If you haven't noticed before, right before Advent starts, we come to Jesus in his last days in Jerusalem. So Jesus has made his triumphal entry on the colt. He has wept over Jerusalem. He has cleansed the temple. And he is in the temple being challenged by authorities and answering every question. And the disciples are getting pretty excited. We're here. We're going to take over. Now is our time. We finally made it. And the temple grounds are filled with people who are there for Passover. It's buzzing with excitement. It's an amazing time and an amazing place, and everybody is really, this is great. They have no idea that it's about to come crashing down in a few minutes. But we know what it's like to be on that high. We know what it's like when everything falls into place and we say, wow, we made it. And I think of this summer. You may or may not know that for almost 30 years I've wanted to walk the Camino. And for 30 years I've said, well, I don't have the time and I don't have the money and I don't know if I have the ability to walk 100 miles every week. But this summer I walked the English Way, not the whole Camino, 6 days of the Camino. And when I got to the Basilica in Santiago with hundreds and thousands of other pilgrims singing and praying in every language on earth, I thought, wow, thank you. And look at this glorious place and look at all these fellow Christians together. Luke starts and ends the gospel at the temple. Although he was a Greek Christian by birth, he knows that to Jesus, the temple was the heart of the faith. And so we hear of Zechariah being told in the Holy of Holies that his elderly wife would conceive a son who would point to the light of the world. And when Jesus was 8 days old, he went to the temple for the naming, for the dedication. And that's when Anna and Simeon, the prophets, saw him and said, he is the light of the world. We have seen our salvation. And when Jesus was 12 or 13 and the whole family and the whole town went to Jerusalem for the Passover, and the whole family, the whole town are walking back to Nazareth, and they notice 2 days later, Jesus isn't with us. Where is he? He's not with the other boys. They run back and there's Jesus in the temple teaching the elders, and they're astonished at his understanding. And today's reading is we are at the temple again with Jesus. Moments before he is to be condemned and killed and will rise again. But the disciples are looking around and they're saying, wow, this place is amazing. And look at all the people here. You can just feel the buzz of excitement. The Passover feast is about to happen. The temple is gorgeous. The gifts being made to God are amazing. And Jesus says, yeah, not a stone's going to be left. It's all going to be overthrown. It's all going to be torn down. And there's going to be wars and famines. And he says, but wait. Before that even happens, you are going to be persecuted and arrested and brought before rulers. And the disciples say, what? Wait a minute. When is this going to happen? How does this happen? Why does this happen? Same questions we have when the rug gets pulled out from under us. How did this happen? Why did this happen? And I think about it's going to be 20 years next June. 20 years ago, I had a new job. I had been a director of a drug and alcohol program for years and years, and then switched back to being a counselor at another agency so that I could have time to discern what my future was. I had been given a job in San Francisco as a chaplain in the hospital, but I wasn't going to start till September. So I had planned a trip to stay with the Franciscan Sisters, Episcopal Sisters, the first week of July, so I could find an apartment. 2 days before that, I was diagnosed with cancer. Suddenly, the rug was pulled out from under me. I couldn't take the new job. I was hoping my health insurance would cover. I'd only been in that position for 6 months, so I wasn't sure I was going to get short-term disability or a job when I got back. And there's three types of thyroid cancer, and I didn't know which one I had at that point, the kind that you die within 6 months, or the kind that you die within 2 years, or the kind where you might live long and healthy life. The rug was pulled out from under me. and it looked pretty dark. And we all know what that feels like. We all know when we get that sudden diagnosis, or we can no longer keep the house, or the factory closes, or we have a death of a loved one. We all know what that feels like to have our world turned upside down. And Jesus says to them, do not be terrified. Don't worry. Now, a friend of mine calls herself a prophylactic worrier. You worry before you need to worry. Prophylactic is like you get the flu shot so you don't get the flu. We worry so we don't have to worry. You know, you think of everything that could go wrong. You plan all the plans. You've got it solid. And then something you never dreamed of happens. I love what James says. He says this to the Christians who are being persecuted and says, but have some joy, my brothers and sisters. Whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete and lack in nothing. Or in Romans 5, and not only that, we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And we're all familiar with in Luke where it says, God has counted every hair on your head. Why do you worry? Why do you waste an hour in worry? Do not be terrified. Can we trust that? And then Jesus says, you will be given the words that you need to speak. And we're like, I'm not so sure about that. When I'm really, really, really stressed out, I kind of become tongue-tied and my brain freezes. But Jesus says, no. Trust. And in part, if we look at today's collect, it tells us, blessed Lord who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, so that we may ever hold fast to the blessed hope of everlasting life. When we know the scriptures, we have the words. When we know the Holy Spirit, we have the words. And when we look at the Gospel of Luke ends and Acts begins, and everything that Jesus says comes true, where the temple is destroyed, where the disciples are being persecuted, they're in the temple grounds and the authorities are arresting them and flogging them. And what do? They go back and they heal and they proclaim the gospel and they baptize and they convert Christians because of the hope and the faith that they have. Jesus says, don't worry, you will have the words to speak. We don't believe that. We don't find it easy to trust that when the rug gets pulled out from under us unexpectedly, that we're going to be okay. We don't know that we can actually do that. And so I wonder, in all of this, where's the good news? And today, the Canticle 9, it says, surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. And the reading from Isaiah says, I am building a new heaven and a new earth. A place where there'll be no crying, where no child will die young, where no elder will die young, where you will each have a home and food, where you will no longer have war, where the lion and the lamb will lie together. Over and over and over again, we are given the assurances that we have everything we need in Christ, in the Spirit, in God, and that we have eternal life. There is nothing to fear. But how do we get there? And that's our challenge for this week and for this season. So I encourage you, be strong. Keep the faith. Fear not. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and join in saying the Nicene Creed found on page 358 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in the one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God of God, light of light, true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead
and the life of the world to come. Amen. Prayers of the People is Form 6, found on page 392 of the Red Prayer Book. In peace we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are all alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world. For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, and justice, and
for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who believe in the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For our presiding bishop, our bishop, Prince Singh. For all other bishops and other ministers, especially Lynn and Gary, our priests.
For all who serve God in His church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, knowing and unknowing, things done and left undone, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
couple of announcements for those of you who missed it, because I missed during the blessing of the boxes up here. I did the blessing of the shoe boxes downstairs, and off they go, 39 boxes. Well done. Yay. But 'tis the season, so we've got the basket in the back for the socks to go to the VA, and Donna, would you like to talk about the tree? So we've got the tree. The doves are for personal care items, and if you can write it down on the post-it and put the dove back in the box. If you put it back on the tree, we'll have 500 things of toothpaste. So put it in the box. Okay, so we've adopted 4 kids. Those are on stars on the tree. And again, please write down the information so you can take it with you. The food pantry is in desperate need of personal care items, so they will be delivered as they come in. The clothing needs to be here before Christmas. Okay? You've seen week after week after week, I talk about the book Red Moon Rising and invite you to come to a study group about it throughout Advent and Epiphany, or invite you to just read the book. And I keep saying, do you think you're in need of prayer, we're in need of prayer, the world's in need of prayer? But this is filled with great stories and great witnesses about the power of prayer. So if you believe in the power of prayer, you might want to read it. It's a real easy to read book, and I know it's a huge commitment to think about coming here, and not everybody can, but I invite you to read it, and you can come drop in the weeks you can and not drop in the weeks you can't. Easy to read. Kind of fun to read, but I'd say that because of who I am. Are there other announcements? Karen. So in case you couldn't hear that, we're doing an athlete's dinner. It's not till December 17th, but the sign-up sheet is there in case you want to be the first one to sign up. And today is Stella's birthday. Join us at coffee hour for a piece of cake. Are there other announcements? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
Eucharistic prayer B continues on page 367 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection unto your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Thank you.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Rejoice and be glad in our Creator. Rejoice and be glad in the Father of lights. Rejoice and be glad.
Communion prayer is on page 365. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ,
and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.